نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. Originally we were to continue with our book by the Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Mu'alla al-Lawayhiq, Qawa'idu fi al-Ta'amuli ma'al ulama, or rules and principles with how to deal with the people of knowledge. We're going to take a break, inshallah ta'ala, for some advice that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance in giving. And this is around the issue of dream marriages or reality. And this issue of marriage, it touches all of our lives here in the community, whether we are not married or married or have been married and looking to be married. That this issue of marriage, it affects all of us. And I think that we're well aware, for the past couple of months we have been intensively going over the two books on marriage and divorce by our Sheikh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi hafadahullah, and trying to cover in detail the verdicts of Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam around the issues of marriage and divorce. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefits us by those two books. We want to begin with something that we have covered many times in the past, and now I don't think that it's an issue of the text of the statements of Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. I think that now those points have become known. As before, there used to be the problem with the sisters misunderstanding that they must be obedient to their husbands, and that they should obey their husband's every command, and that a lady doesn't give her lord his right until she gives her husband his right, or that the sisters didn't understand the magnificent right that the husband has over his wife. But I think now that the sisters probably are well aware of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam around this issue, as well as the brothers, after so many classes on the issue from the women of Jannah and the lady from the women of Jannah, and I forgot the names of those other talks that were basically quotations from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam around how a lady must be in relationship with her husband, and likewise how the husband should be with his wife. And that we had the series of nine lectures, I think it was, the rights that a lady has over her husband. And then the other talks that we had covered, like WAP 2, where we had detailed the text from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam on how the husband should be towards the wife. But it seems like there's a point that after that we don't understand. And this is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, what a brother was mentioning to me today, and I felt that now is the time that we discuss this issue. From time and time again, and this is advice for myself, and I want to give it to the brothers, inshallah, and the sisters, that we should take advice from the people who have been married for years. The brothers amongst us who have been married 25 years or more, and the brothers have been married over 20 years, and the brothers have been married 15 years or more, and 10 years or more, they didn't go that far by coincidence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And if you ask them, you would find that they don't say, when you say, how did you make it for 20 years? I don't know, it was just a coincidence. We just kind of got married one day, and I noticed that here we are 20 years later together. But that they don't say that, but that they have good pieces of advice for us to take, and maybe we should ask them from time to time again as we make salat with them, and we travel with them, and we eat with them. And sometimes we're a little shy, but as we become more brothers to one another, we should be opening up to each other a lot more, where we could get the advice from our brothers that might benefit us in the issues of marriage and divorce, where the advice is so much needed. Especially for the people of the dream marriages, where they think that a marriage is just like a dream, where you go to sleep and you see all beautiful things, and then you wake up and you expect that this is what married life is going to be like, and then it becomes so often a nightmare if you thought that it was a dream in the beginning, or the reality smacks you in the face and you see that it's a lot more than just dreaming that everything is going to be okay, but that is work that's involved. And one of the brothers, he gave a nice piece of advice, as he said, and I'm going to add on to a statement, and he said he didn't mind, inshallah ta'ala. The person with the dream marriage, he's the one like the driver in cruise control. You get where there's no traffic really. You at the pace that you want to go, hit the button, take your foot off the gas, and then you just kind of wait for the toll booth to come an hour or so down the road or whatever. And this is the person with the dream marriage. He said, really, the person who understands reality and the one who wants to benefit in his marriage and to really get the best out of it and to enjoy it is the one who is really driving like he should, with no cruise control button on. He's in the city, and he has to be aware of the pedestrians and cars coming out of the driveway. He has to be mindful of the stop signs, the traffic lights, what have you. When he's on the highway, he's usually taking that journey. He has to make sure his directions are there, following all the signs, looking where he's going. A car might just cut in front of him. SubhanAllah, slow down, step on the brakes real quick, whatever. Children are hollering in the back seat, trying to keep them quiet, watching where he goes so he doesn't crash at the same time, making sure that he has how much is that, honey, 35 cents, get me to change out, whatever, but that he's in control instead of the cruise control guiding him down the highway, that there's all types of roadblocks and what have you and detours and whatever that's going to be in the marriage. But the driver, he doesn't really let that be a problem with him. As you don't often hear someone says, I'm never going to drive another day in my life. Why? Well, there was too much traffic when I was on my way to New York the other day, and I think that because of that, I had enough. Or I was on my way, and I usually catch that green light all the time, but the other day it was red when I got there. So I'm not going to drive anymore, so I don't have to worry about catching a green light or a red light. And nobody does this, like you mistakenly fall into run into a pothole. SubhanAllah. Man, did I tear my car, whatever. You just try to be a little more mindful the next time or whatever, and nobody just drops out, because you understand that with driving, there's a lot more than the cruise control button. And the same thing with marriage. And the people who have been married for some time, they understand that it's not just, for lack of better words, smooth sailing all the time. But every time something presents itself in the marriage, the people who are living the real marriages, they don't look at it as, subhanallah, let me quit driving. Or subhanallah, let me divorce the system, the problem be over. But they just look at it as another problem and they deal with it. Okay, the sister is going haywire. Then he just reflects. He doesn't say anything to the sister, he's just sitting there listening in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands me to be patient. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam tells us that the women are created out of the rib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to live with the women in kindness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells us the best of you are the best to his families. And then he says, I'll just give her that. Nah. And then he keeps on going. And then the next thing happens is, he said that he was going to be home for the dinner and she was cooking his favorite dinner, and then something came out of the masjid that was unexpected and it delayed him until he missed the dinner and she went to sleep and whatever, and she wakes up and she has the attitude with him and what have you. But she just figures, okay, I'm upset, this, that, whatever, but he's still my husband and he better not let it happen again. For example. And then they keep on going. But the people with the real marriages, they understand that they're going to be good days, bad days, ups, downs, whatever, but that they're dealing with everything as it presents itself. When something presents itself, they deal with it in light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, even though when we're driving, we don't necessarily do it according to the laws. But in the marriages, we have to be, as this is a lot more serious, in accordance to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So I wanted to advise myself first and then the believers that in this issue of marriage, that is not a dream, it's for real. And that we have to take into consideration in real life that there's a lot of things that presents itself. And that the brothers that have been married for many years, then they're well aware of the many things that present themselves, presents itself in the marriage, and then they deal with it, and this is why they've been married for this years, for these many years. As we said many times in the past, if someone were to weigh out the bad things or to count the bad things that they've seen in their wife during the past 10 years or 20 years, or if the sister would have did the same thing, that any of us listening from the outside, we would have said, I would have been divorced him long, I would have got a fuller from him long time ago. Or brother, if I was you, I don't know how in the world you put up with all of that. This is what we would say from the outside. But when you ask the brother, how's your marriage? Alhamdulillah. I couldn't have been more happier. And you're wondering, how could somebody be happy with all of that? The same way we're happy with the rest of the things that affect us in our lives, and we deal with them. Whether it's on the job and you're dealing with what you have to deal with on the job, or just as you live your life, everybody is forced to deal with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets them with, and then to keep on going, and the reward is with those who are patient. And this is more emphasized in the issue of marriage, that the people have to, even though it might seem like, as the brother was putting it, even though when you weigh it out, it looks like the bad is so high, and the good is so low, that how are you dealing with all of that and calling it the good is outweighing the bad, when the good seems to be so small and the bad seems to be so much? He says the good is heavier when you look at it. Nah. Though the bad was, if you count it by points, well, it was 75 bad things he did and it was 5 good things he did. But those 5 good things are so weighty that this is why it's happy and the marriage is okay and the person is hanging in it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Or as the brother had put it on the other way, when it comes to the issue of the men, why is the man happy in his marriage and what have you, and he has to deal with the lady? This is because the man is stronger and he's handling and controlling his circumstances. As the example was given, like the man and the lady is on the seesaw. Even if the lady weighs the same amount as one of the brothers was making the statement, still the husband is stronger and he can control that seesaw the way he wants, because of, not just because of his weight, but because the strength that's behind his weight that keeps him in control. And this is, inshallah, our obedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, and that strength in our marriage will keep it, inshallah ta'ala, in control, where we can be happy and not always complaining about the bad things that we find, as if our marriage is a dream that it's supposed to turn out the way that we want. And even the dreams, they don't turn out the way you want, because sometimes somebody woke you up and you got mad at them. Why you wake me up? I was just about to, whatever. So I just wanted to advise myself and some of the couples, inshallah ta'ala, that the marriage isn't a dream, it's real, and there are things that we have to deal with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the men men, and the men have to handle their responsibilities in accordance to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the women places in their marriages, and the women, they should take their places in their marriages, and then they would be better off, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. Besides, as one of the brothers, he says, what are you bringing to the marriage in the first place? And the brother was making a good point, even if it feels to be like a low blow to many of us, but we know we had a whole bunch of baggage with us, either before Islam or before the marriage, and we brought it with us to the marriage. And our wife, she deals with it. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them for preserving the secrets that they put up with us. And the same thing with the women. I mean, the same thing with the men. They put up with a lot of the baggage of the women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our tongues from talking against our wives. But Allah knows best that we put up with a lot of that baggage. But sometimes when the baggage goes against you, you think you don't got no baggage. And if we really take a look at what we had to bring to that marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, we might be a lot more thankful because we're aware of the baggage that we have. Even though a lot of us, we praise ourselves more than we should, and hopefully today's khutbah, inshallah ta'ala, lighten that point up with us, and that we don't praise ourselves as much, that when you're aware of the baggage that you brought to the marriage, then you can look back and say, subhanAllah, when I see such and such from the sister, to let it go, because I know what she's letting go with me and what I brought in the marriage, and vice versa. And this is a nice way to look at it, inshallah ta'ala. And this is from one of the brothers. All of these pieces of advice are from the brothers who have been married for quite some years. But this is a nice bit of advice for us to look at. And when we look at it, then it makes us a lot more patient. And the issue of patience is the issue of that which keeps the people married, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Because this baggage that all of us bring, sometimes you get rid of your old baggage and sometimes you don't, because you like it so much. And then you just, you know, she's telling you, ya akhi, won't you get rid of that garbage? You say, astaghfirullah, this is not garbage. This is baggage, and I love it, and it's good, and it's been with me. I'm going to keep it, like it, or like whatever. And we know how, astaghfirullah, we might feel about some of the baggage that we have. And this is on both sides, you know, of the fence, for the men and the women, that we might have stuff with us that we know we did wrong in it. But it's just a little hard to shake it. And the other person, if they're dealing with it, then be a little easier in helping them deal with the baggage that they have to deal with. And then think of it at the time when you don't want to deal with their old baggage. Think about the old baggage that you don't want to get rid of, that you deal with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And this is the advice that we wanted to present for the people who are married. As far as the people who have yet to get married, then we want to advise them of being truthful. And ayah in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam around the issue of being truthful. But I don't think that there's anyone from amongst us that thinks that lying is permissible Islamically, or that telling the truth is not praiseworthy Islamically. I think that we're aware of that. and that that might not be the problem. The problem is in practicing it. And sometimes you want to present the best you as you're trying to sell yourself before you get married, and you're trying to say, well, you know, sister, you know, and you're trying to you're trying to be a little modest and stuff like that. And I don't want to brag, you know, tell you this and that, but honestly, you know, I'm number one. And then the brother is just going on as if he has no bad point whatsoever. And I don't want to bring any of the lines of the brothers as the walis, they hear a lot. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. They hear a lot. But the main thing is that one understands that being truthful is praiseworthy in Islam, and telling the truth is praiseworthy in Islam, and lying is blameworthy in this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what will make you realize that the person will accept you the way you are? And this is a point that for some reason it seems like we don't think that. And oftentimes when I say, why hasn't brother so-and-so get married, or let's get brother so-and-so married, they say, brother so-and-so? Ain't nobody gonna marry him. Soon as you tell them what they are. What's gonna make you realize, soon as the sister here, the brother is like that, she wanna marry him? And wallahi, I remember one time telling a sister, you can't wanna marry the brother. Astaghfirullah. I gotta tell you the truth, sister. The brother's too hard. I don't know how you're gonna put up with it. And the sister said, exactly what I'm looking for. And they got married. And they was happy and what have you. And this is because you don't know what somebody looking for. The brother might say, that's right, I'm hard. When he sit down, you say, Akhi, take it easy with the sister, you know, so she can marry you. Because nobody's going to marry you. Come in, sit down. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalam ala Rasulillah. First thing, sister, I want to let you know that, inshallah, if you marry me, then you should expect nothing but the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. I'm not going to tolerate none of this, none of that, none of this, none of that, none of this, none of that. Matter of fact, I might not even tolerate you if I married you. I might have to get rid of you, whatever. Don't think that brother's not hard like that. And the sister said, MashaAllah, exactly what I'm looking for. No. And the same thing with the women. Some of the women, they think like, who would marry me at this age? Brother so-and-so, he's just waiting to meet you. And this is the thing, nobody will marry. Wallahi, there's quite a few brothers they're talking about. I want to marry a sister, an older sister, who's more mature and stuff, and I'm tired and whatever. But what about yourself? You don't have no maturity. Inshallah, she'll bring the maturity out of me and what have you. You'll say, man, how in the world is that going to work? How is the older, mature lady going to marry an immature man, and everybody's going to agree to that? The brother, he might say it about himself. Yeah, I'm immature, young, whatever, but I think that if I marry the older sister like yourself, I think that you might, inshallah, bring the best out of me and so on and so forth and like that. And the sister says, wonderful. This is what I'm looking for. So really, even if it doesn't happen all the time, where someone says, no way in the world I'm going to accept a sister like that, or the sister says, no way do I want a brother like that, we still have to understand that people will accept people the way that they are. And then when it starts off being truthful, then it's easier. Because when you play the role, now you have to keep on playing it. How you gonna do that in a marriage? You started off with a lie, and two lies, and three lies. All right, the marriage, no wonder it ends in divorce, because it's too much stress for you. You done built up so many lies, and you're trying to keep everything. Now, wait a minute. Did I tell her I do that, or did I tell her I didn't do it? He knows good and well that he does it, but he doesn't know what to tell the sister, because he can't remember if he told her he does it or he doesn't do it, knowing full and well what he does. So really, the people, they should be a lot more truthful in the beginning, because then they can be a lot more happier, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, because many of us, we know what we want, inshallah, in a marriage. And inshallah, many of us, we should know that you're not going to get every single everything you want. but you look to try to get the most of it, and then you work from there. Whoever thinks he's not working from there, wallahi, I love to meet him. So he can tell us the secret on having it like that. Because outside of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I don't know anyone. And we were just covering our last class, the statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that she said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always made the verdict in accordance to the desire of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But when it comes to us, sometimes it's in our favor and sometimes it's not in our favor. So we have to try to be a lot more truthful in the beginning, and don't think that telling the truth about yourself means that you won't get married. Somebody with my background, if the sister knew, she'd never marry me. Who told you that? Wallahi, people don't mind about a lot of the things, of the baggage that we have with us, but we have to be a little honest, a lot more honest in the beginning, so that at least you started it off on a good foot, inshallah ta'ala, and that it could be a lot better afterwards, instead of what many of the people are doing. They're hiding so much before they get married, and then they're trying to continue hiding it during the marriage until it got to come out. And really, the first place anything is going to come out is at home. I mean, we could fake it all day long when we come to the masjid a little bit, but it's even harder to, how are you going to do it at home? I mean, you hope that they don't come in, you put the chain on the door, as soon as they come, boom. So, Assalamu alaikum, honey, it's me. Oh, I forgot I kept the chain on. You told me you were coming, whatever. She's doing no good in the house. Got the chain on the door keeping you. One day she's going to forget to put the chain on the door. You're going to come in. She all in the haram. You walk in, Assalamu alaikum. Subhanallah, sister. So really, if you can hide it and fake it in the beginning, then how long do you think you can keep that up before eventually you'll get caught in that? And sometimes I hope that we are feeling sincere and that we might change. So you don't mention it in hopes that you can give it up. But even mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, it might be a lot better off for us if we leave off the lying and go into the marriages straight with being honest with each other, so that our marriages can be a lot more better, our real marriages, instead of these dream marriages where you say that your Omar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, or Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, like some people might say, why is your name, no offense Abu Bakr, inshallah, why is your name Abu Bakr? Because the people say I'm like Abu Bakr, I'm the truthful. And you know, good and well, you just like the way Abu Bakr sound when you chose your name. But you say that in order to impress the sister, and she's impressed. And then you can't live up to what you impressed the sister, and she's looking for other than what you have. And then you have a problem after that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, make us amongst the truthful, and keep lies off of our tongues, especially before we get married. Let's bounce back, inshallah, to the married couples, inshallah ta'ala, and the advice of our brother in keeping what's in the home in the home. Keeping what's in the home in the home. Sometimes it can be extremely problematic, as we were just alluding at in the beginning, if you keep letting out what's taking place in your marriage, then you don't allow the people to be objective in helping you remain married. Because you only tell them when you're real upset, or maybe when you're real happy. But definitely when you're real upset. When you're real happy, you might tell him, or he might tell her. But when you're upset, then you want to let everybody know. Guess what he had the nerve to do? Such and such. And then the brother, he said the same thing about the sister. And then everybody else is like, what? I'm telling you, I don't go for that in my house. If you that type of man, that's on you. For me, ain't no way in the world I'm going to let something like that happen in my house. The sister doesn't think she in charge now. She acts like she ain't read that ayah. Wallahi, I read that ayah to her again. She keep acting like she in charge in this household. All right, when you say that type of advice, all right, the brother, he didn't really let you know what's going on, that the sister is really a good sister. He might have just brought out one bad point. If you're looking at that without looking at the whole picture, it would lead you to say that. But if you saw the whole picture, you might say something else. Now, this is the same thing that happens with a lot of the sisters. And the sisters are even worse in this case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them when it comes to the issue of running their mouths. As are some of the ulama had explained with the issue of the uppermost part of the rib being crooked. The uppermost part refers to the lady's mouth. If you look at all of her being crooked in the uppermost part, that's the mouth. وَلَا حَوْلَا وَلَا قُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The sisters, if you tell another sister something bad happening in your houses, the sisters, they're going to let it get around. So it's not one sister saying, SubhanAllah, man, I feel sorry for you, sister. May Allah help you. I don't know what to say. It's just, I can never believe that a man would do such a thing to a sister. And she might start off like that, but she's going to go tell her friend, and then her friend going to come back. Yeah, I had a husband who used to try to do that to me too. But that's why I keep saying I had. And my man now, he know better than to ever try something. And then the word just keeps going on and on. And then the sisters let it go. Wallahi, the sisters, if they're upset with me about saying it, they should know that many of them are feeling regretful and following the advice of the other sisters and telling them to jump out of the marriage or what have you. And they know that the man wasn't really that bad off in the first place. Besides, she knew in general what she was getting into when she married the man. So sometimes we have to be aware of letting too much out of our houses. Because sometimes what you let out, it's not, Ya Rahmukallah, what you let out of your houses is not the whole picture. So the person listening is not listening to the whole picture. So when he advises, he's not being the best advisor to you because he's not aware of the full picture. And this is why it's best oftentimes to keep our mouths closed to what has taken place in the house. And this is why we said that if the people knew what went on in the houses of the people who have been married for so many years, you might advise them that they're crazy in being married for so many years and they're the happiest people from amongst us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us just like them. So this is very important for us to understand this issue of keeping our mouths closed and not letting too much out. But however, when we mention this point, it's only fair that we mention this other point as the brothers have a problem with this point. And they want to dog the sister out all the way out. And then you better not tell no one. You heard the imam saying, don't let the business out. Yeah, he tried to kill a lady. Nah, as we have mentioned before, I told you, sister, didn't I? Go get the gun. Now. Click. It didn't work, but you thought it would have worked, didn't you? But you better learn to keep your mouth closed next time I'm talking to you. Yeah, how in the world somebody going to abuse? You're talking about mental abuse. Because he said it wasn't even loaded, the gun didn't work, whatever. But how are you going to abuse a lady like that? And then just figure, you better not go tell nobody. You heard what he said. Keep this stuff in the house. You let it out, people don't get the full picture. Really, people can't go, the brothers, they have to remember that they just can't go too far. And then expect that everything's going to be kept in the house because the women have, and the women can be really messed up from the brothers because we are stronger than them physically and a lot more treacherous as many of the husbands have been in the past to the women. So in that case, this is a whole nother story. As some of the brothers, they feel, well, if we would have been all right, sister. You know, eventually they take the cast off your arm and we can buy you some more teeth. They make more of them. and what have you. You don't have to. You don't have to go out and get the brothers involved, man. We'd have been all right. Brothers don't know nothing anyway. They can't even stay by themselves talking about what they're going to do for us. In this case, this is different. And if something gets serious like that and the women came to call out for help, then this is different than what we're talking about. I don't want any of the men, inshallah, to misunderstand what we're talking about and keeping things in the house that people just downright oppressive, and then they want to keep that in, and that'll make a better marriage if you just let me keep continuing on with you like this. No, this isn't what we're speaking about. We're speaking about being quiet to what takes place in the house so that we don't get bad advice when we really want advice that would be more beneficial to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is the small bit of advice that I wanted to present for myself and the believers around this topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make our marriages better than what they are. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if any of the brothers or sisters want to make any comments. If not, then there were some other issues that we wanted to address after this, inshallah ta'ala. Yes, Akhi. How far should a father protect his daughter from mental abuse? How far should he go to protect his daughter from mental abuse and what have you? First, we have to look at how far did he go and what should he be doing. And this was the point that I had left off thinking that maybe it's not so important. And then again, your question brings it out to show. That is, inshallah, I hope that this isn't the case with you, but the issue, and then we'll deal with that. Why marry someone to the fire when you can marry someone that might bring your daughter or your son to Jannah? And this is oftentimes that the people are marrying the wrong people. You know, we said that certain things are going to be accepted. Like you say, how can you accept a young, immature man if you're an older, mature lady? All right, you can accept that. But if somebody's going to be abusive, then that's something you won't accept. And we remember the advice of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, no, don't marry whatchamacallam, he's a women beater. Marry brother so-and-so. I don't like brother so-and-so. That's okay, but he ain't going to beat you. Brother so-and-so that you like, he going to beat you good. All right, so you're going to advise the person away from marrying someone that's not going to be good for them. And this is very important for us, not to marry just like the brother was putting it. Don't marry yourself into the hellfire. Marry yourself with the option that you might make it to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us Jannah and save us from the fire. So sometimes it could be the case of you just marry the wrong person knowingly. Hopefully this isn't the brother's case, but this is advice for us in general that we have to look at who we're marrying and that we don't want to marry someone that's going to be trouble because we like the way she looks. And we say Shaytan, he's good. And he comes, as the Messenger of Allah informed us, he comes in the shape of women. And the women are like Shayateen. Not every woman. Some women are from the women of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our wives and daughters and mothers and sisters from the women of Jannah. But some of the women are just shayateen. And when you look at them, they can make you do the haram in minutes, seconds flat. You know? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that those women call you to the fire and Allah is calling you to paradise. But how many of the brothers get trapped off in the hellfire instead of taking the forgiveness and the path to paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling for? As the brothers are still falling into zina. Why are you falling into zina and letting the lady call you to the hellfire and the haram? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling you to forgiveness and to the path of Jannah because she just looked too good to let go. Or like that. And this is the same thing with the sisters. They might feel like, well, he got money or something like that. Well, how you gonna marry? Well, the brother got money. Well, I know he not no good and I know that he dumped sister so-and-so and dogged her out, not taking care of her properly and this and that. But still, you know, handsome young man, got some money, this, that. And they put that over top of what is better for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. And we'll just finish off your question after a man, inshallah. Allah. Hey, man, go. We hope that so long as you stay away from by any means necessary that you take what is halal and to do your best and the success is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you don't guide the one who you love but Allah guides whoever he pleases. So it's not that everything is always in our hands and that we have the ability to correct every problem but that all we can do is to offer advice and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever Allah has decreed would take place. But maybe what is more important is to look at who you marry, who you're marrying as opposed to what I'm going to do now. Alright, I know that this was the problem, but I knew that we could work this thing out because ain't nowhere in the world something looking that good could be that bad. But it can be. So really that the people have to take a look at who they're marrying. And then once they've done that, then once they've done the best that they could do, that if it doesn't work out, that as they married in kindness, that they would separate in kindness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Yes. Like what type of questions can you ask? The brothers, they had made a list for the people looking to get married, some questions that they should ask. And maybe some of the brothers should take some of those questions. Usually it's one of them that I usually like. What is the one thing, or if you got more than one, mention every single one of them that if I got that in me, there's no way in the world you're going to put up with me. Meaning you could put up with, everybody could put up with a lot of stuff, but those things that you say there's no way in the world I'm going to put up with it, that's the only one that I have myself to make sure that the people ask that question because it seems like if you could stay away from that, then everything else is workable. If you could stay away from that, then everything else is workable. And the issue of being compatible, really over the years, a person really comes to find out how compatible they are with someone. I don't know if you can find out but so much in the beginning to show how much you're compatible. Because you might have all of the same hobbies and stuff like that, but there's a little more. It's like a clicking thing that kind of goes on, the vibes and the feeling and all that kind of stuff that really kind of comes out with the relationship itself more so than the things before. Because in general, myself, I used to find it funny the questions that are asked because all of us have those things in common. Like it seems like all of the Muslims when they're looking to get married, they have these like type of questions that I found to be kind of funny. Like, do you really like Islam? Yes. I mean, they left Kufa for Islam. Well, do you like reading the Quran? I mean, most of us, we left Kufa. So I mean, everything Islamic is like it. You know, even though we might be on different levels of Iman, but inshallah, I hope that we're all on at least that level of hating Kufa and loving Islam. So really, that thing is like the only thing everybody's looking for. And that thing just comes out in the beginning, and that's it. That's the one. How you know? I mean, she loves Islam. She likes to read it, go to the masjid, hang out with the Muslims. And in general, the Muslims are like that. Because you want to find something else. Okay, you like reading. What do you like reading? Or you like relaxing. How do you like to relax? Or to find some details to see if that's okay. And even though people do the same thing, doesn't make you compatible. If some of you remember, like, growing up on the football team or the baseball, the track team, everybody on the same team, everybody want to win. Why don't everybody get along? Because everybody doesn't, you know, just because you like to do the same things doesn't necessarily make you compatible, even in those things, let alone being compatible in general. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I can't remember offhand, but I remember, I think that was Abdul Hakim who came up with a list of fine questions. And there was another sister, I don't want to mention the sister's name, but she had like the finest questions I've ever heard. It seemed a little like interrogation in the beginning, but it was nice. I mean, she had a lot of questions. What city were you born in? Were you raised in that city? Or did you go to some other city? What high school did you graduate from? Did you play on any sports teams? What were they? And just like some background stuff that sometimes doesn't come out in the issue of showing who you are. Like, this is me. I used to do this when I was young, and I went through that transition, and I came to this and that. And kind of, the person kind of feels like they know you a little better than the general questions about right now. Certain things, well, this, that, and it seems like the more well-rounded the questions are that you can get about the person's life, that it makes you feel like you know the person a little more to feel if you're compatible or not. And I know that some of the people may have thought, like, what high school I graduated from, what does that have to do with anything? Alhamdulillah. And even myself, I was saying, well, what does that have to do with about? But it just makes a person feel like, well, they were from the city, they were from the suburbs, they were from a rival team, they were from the team that was on our side, and like that. And I don't know if it helps a person, like, feel a lot more closer. You know that you're going to marry somebody, they were from the high school that your high school just naturally had a beef with, that something might develop a little bit later on in the marriage. Nah, people, all of that stuff you think... You think that we left it. We used to be proud of our varsity letters and stuff like that, all of that. Other people, and other people, they used to be down with, especially with the basketball team. And even if you didn't play, the basketball games were like showing where you at. And Allah, if it wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us guidance from the Quran, this is the same thing with the Sahaba. And the guidance from Islam came to wipe that away. But I suppose when your iman not that strong, then what? Jahiliyyah is just that much stronger, and it could be a little problematic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but maybe if we refer back to some of those brothers' questions, then maybe
and a future date, maybe if I had that questionnaire in front of me, or those questionnaires, I might be able to read all some of these questions. But whoever is looking to actually get married, then they should try to stay in touch with the brother, inshallah, so that he could give them advice, and Allah knows best. Yes, Safi.
With having dinner with the respective
in-laws, with having dinner help? Yes. And I don't know if we covered it already before, if we're going to cover it. I think we're moving into the chapters of around al-khutbah or the proposal and stuff like that. I want to cover this, that having dinner together is kind of helpful. And it gets to show you what a person's like. As people eat, depending on, it shows a little something. Even though some of us can fake it, others of us can't. You know, like some of us, I don't know what side the fork goes on, or the spoon, or whatever. So someone would just see, like, you know, why you got your elbow on the table? Because it's more comfortable when I eat, you know. And it kind of brings out something. Just like taking a little walk sometimes brings out something. And the Shaykh, he had given some examples in his book, our Shaykh Mustafa Ibn al-Adawi, hafizahullah, he had given some examples that showed that were permissible so long as the bounds of Islam are kept, that taking a walk or eating out, something like that, that might make a person slip and let his guard down so you see the real him, that could be encouraged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And maybe some of the brothers know some other halal situations that might... Yeah, she got to say halal. Because they might know of some other halal situations that if you did them, they might help to help a person let his guard down. Like usually if they're going to see the sister, it's usually at her place or something like that. But maybe the wali might come and bring the sister to his place. And then, you know, he's at home, and when he gets the juice and serving some, what do you call them, hors d'oeuvres or whatever, that he might feel a lot more relaxed than if he's going to see her at the masjid beyond the musalla. I mean, what in the world is the brother going to say in the masjid to a sister that's not halal for him, that he's considering? I mean, the brother is going to watch it. I mean, he's in the house of Allah. Brothers are walking. You trying to get married, Akhi? He trying to lower his gaze more than normal, and all kind of stuff that might take place in the masjid, as opposed to if the wali like took him down to Orange Park or somewhere, they parked a car, or right, they took a walk in the grass, something like that. Then he's asking the same questions that he would ask sitting down the musalla, but the walk kind of might let the people let their guard down and the real them come out. And there's no problem if you just say, no, I don't want to marry so-and-so. It's better than marrying them and then having the problem, and Allah knows best. Yes, sir.
The question was, with dinner with the prospective in-laws.
Oh, excuse me. The brother is saying the dinner with the in-laws, prospective in-laws, with that benefit. Yes, and this is around what the brother was talking about. It would help you show... show a little bit about their lineage, what type of person they are, as people tend to be like the people they're from. And we don't see it a lot here as much as some of the tribal places see it. They see everybody from that tribe like that. You might don't see it, they see it. Like, for example, the tribe of one of my sheikhs, Omar Falaka, from the Falaka tribe in West Africa there. The whole tribe is known for being on the deen. So in general, if you get somebody from that tribe, in general, their thing is the deen. And all of them try to upkeep that. And you can find out something from the people from a family. I mean, sometimes you have a black sheep in the family, for lack of better words. But in general, the family, a person is like the family he comes from. And if he's not like them in one respect, then he's like them in another respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. and choosing the sisters, they might be like their mothers or their sisters, and the brothers, they might be like their brothers or their fathers or something like that. Also, the something that we have that's not tribal, but that we have neighborhoods. And sometimes the people are like the neighborhoods they're from. And we can... Not everybody from the neighborhood is like the regular neighborhood person. But then he might hang out, and that's because he hangs in another neighborhood that he's like that neighborhood that he hangs out in. But all of that, we hope, inshallah ta'ala, would help a person understand a little more. And I was thinking that this was similar to the questions of the sister of what high school and where were you born, and were you raised in one city or a few cities, and what were those cities, and did the different cities have a different impact on your life, and if so, how did you feel impact on your life living in that city as opposed to that city, living in a house instead of an apartment, and all of that. And they affect us in the ways that they affect us, and they help the other people around us, we hope, inshallah, to get a better picture of who we are, to make a better decision in marrying who they want to marry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The brother has quite a few statements, and it might take me a little while to read and translate it. أقول هل الآن أم نجلس؟ أنا أقرأ أو تقرأه علي؟ نعم. أما خطك غير واضح. And the brother, he wants to add some pieces of advice, inshallah. And that's that every person that wants to get married should have the example in front of him, be the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the example of living the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, to be the example, how was he? And being just to his family, considerate to his family, and how was his relationship with them, and all of the aspects that were, as we covered in the past, inshallah. And the brother is advising that if a person marries a sister, then this is from the word of Allah that has allowed her private parts to become permissible to him. And he has to take it as serious as this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible for you. So take it as serious as that, and treating the sister gently and being compassionate to her in the way that the women like to be treated. Are you dead? Then for the brothers, inshallah, to overdo it in their kindness to the women. Even when the women mess up, thank them. Like, really the food, I'm adding an example, inshallah. The food was good, even though it was burnt. You don't say it to her, but it's burnt. You just eat it. You want more? Of course. Except that I feel that I'm already heavy enough, so let's just pass. But it was excellent. Like that. And that's because the next time that the sister makes it, she's going to do a better job. I mean, she's not going to say, he liked it even though it was burnt. I'll burn it the next time. But that the sister, she's going to realize that oftentimes the women, they understand that you're being gentle and kind to them, and they really appreciate that, because they even if they burnt it, they still put a lot of time in burning it. It's not like they just didn't take anything to burn it. Take something to burn it, and just to show the appreciation Allah knows best. No. No. Just in the point that had come up already before, that there's times where you can't do anything but let the lady go, or vice versa, where the lady can't remain in the marriage because it's just impossible. Let it be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised, to take them in kindness and to let them go in kindness. Not to have it, as we always say, don't let the divorce always be an explosion. Just let it be that it doesn't really look like we're made for each other, whatever, and it might be best that we part in kindness. Of course, it's going to be a little harder on one of the parties than the other. Sometimes one is more attached to the relationship than the other, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. No. The brother is adding the last point is that we show a lot of consideration, and that is when the lady is upset, then the man should be a lot more gentle and easy and caring and considerate when the lady is upset. And then vice versa, when the man is upset, then the lady should be giving more and taking more when the brother is a little upset. And because there's no escape from having problems. But the issue is, how are you going to deal with them when they come? So when the other person is the one that's upset, then you try not to be upset too. Brothers, see, this is one of the sisters giving a piece of advice. Brothers, see if the sister has the qualities you want, considering they may be the mother of your children before you get married, and not afterwards. And then going as far as trying to prevent her from having children. I don't catch the point that good. Let me read it by myself one time. This might seem like it's a little more specific than general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Everybody caught that?
No.
If a brother, if he's going to marry a lady, then he should expect that lady would have his children. Not that he marries a lady to see if she's worthy of having his children, but that he makes that decision before he marries her and not after he marries her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I hope I gave a nice tafsir to the sister's statement, but that's what I understood from it. But nowadays, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, many of the people are having children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased the number of the Muslims, but it seems like all of the women are very eager to have more children. And inshallah, from what I hear from the brothers, all of the brothers seem to be in a race and having more children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our numbers, because our numbers are needed in the land of the disbelievers, so that we can be, inshallah, a strong ummah on the Quran and the Sunnah. Now,
the dua that the Prophet used to make for Hassan al-Husayn, we would start off with, you should be with the floor for those two.
Uh-huh.
The dua he
used to make. They have a, no, that's in, whatchamacallit, Muthanna, I don't know what you call it, a dual in English.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know much about Arabic at all. If you have one child, that's still okay? Make that one? I don't know how to make it.
Yeah. I remember I heard one of our shuyukh commenting on some of the hadith of dhikr and dua. And that sometimes it's in the singular, and sometimes it's in the plural, sometimes it's in the musanna, or the dua for two people. Then what do you do if the dua is in the singular and you want to talk about plural, or if it's in the plural and you want to talk about singular, or if it's for two and you want to talk about one, or if you want to talk about two but the dua is in one? That the dua of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, the way it was said is sufficient. And if someone changed it to fit exactly, then it would be okay also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nah. Yes, Shaykhana.
Some of the brothers, they go into these marriages, and they want to crack the whip, so to speak, on the children who are not their children. So you have to be more considerate when you marry a sister who has children. And also, a sister has to be more considerate when she marries a brother who has children also. So you need to take those things into consideration when you're talking about marrying
So Allah can summarize the brother's statement that if someone is marrying into a situation where the other partner has children, then they have to be more considerate to those children that are not theirs. Meaning the brother, if he marries a sister with children, then the brother must be considerate to that lady's children. And then that lady must be considerate too to that man in handling her children. Something like that? Her children. No. No, I'm not saying that. The lady who has children, the man has to be considerate of her children, and she has to be considerate of him with her children. Yeah. Then you could go vice versa after that. But this is the issue of the consideration is not just going for the children. The consideration is going for that man too, dealing with that lady's children. And sometimes they feel, well, that's not your boy. Okay, I'm going to put him on the sunnah anyway. As the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, put Abu Salama's children on the sunnah after he married Salama. And we have covered this before with the hadith. Sammillah, or the statement of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, Sammillah, say Bismillah to the little boy. Eat with your right hand and eat the food that's closest to you. And we had covered in this hadith, as sometimes we try to bring out, what was who and what was going on with some of these hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that boy was Abu Salama's son, who is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's stepson. But when he's wrong, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, corrected him. And this is advice. It's not for Salama to say, she's telling my boy to let him eat wherever he want to eat. I let your children eat wherever they want to eat. You let him eat wherever he want to eat. But the case is to the consideration has to be for everyone. For the man doing his best to raise someone else's children, as it's going to be sensitive in general. So not only must the brother be sensitive to that lady's children because they're not his children, But the lady must be sensitive to the brother trying to raise her children that's not his children, because it's a sensitive situation, not only with her, but with him also. And then the same thing, if the sister marries a brother with children, then the brother has to be considerate of that sister trying to raise his children that are not her children, and then she has to be considerate that those children are not her children. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Yes, sir. Seems like if I answer that, it's going to be funny, though. If a man, Allah save us. Let's deal with that in private, inshallah. It might be better. No. There was one last point that I wanted to make. There's a notice. New Jersey no longer requires premarital blood testing for a marriage license. This is August 1997. I have the paper here. This is just a copy of it. Me and the brother were just saying that what a time to come out with something like this. Seemed like about 50 years ago would have been like excellent to come out with it more so than now. I wanted to mention it to say that this has no impact on our advice, that we still advise the Muslims that they should take blood tests before they get married. And this is our advice, and we didn't say that this was from the Sharia, meaning that the marriage wouldn't be permissible if they didn't take a blood test. We didn't say that, rahmatullah. But we're saying that we're advising it because we shouldn't be ignorant of the world that we live in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which is best. The sister says, As-salamu alaykum. May Allah reward the brother who seems to be working hard at parting in kindness. For sometimes this isn't always easy. This is just a kind word, no need to announce. Unless you wish to. I guess I'm a little late. We hope, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows what we were discussing tonight to be advice that would benefit us in our lives. Because it's been oftentimes that we've sat down at the table, or at the masjid, to discuss the issues of marriage and divorce, and sometimes the people feel like, isn't it enough? And I guess it's going to be enough when we get a better handle on it. And really, marriage and divorce are from amongst the difficult topics or issues to deal with. And if we deal with them frequently, inshallah, that they would help us to deal with them a lot better. And not always, I wish I could remember the phrase, not always putting your head in the sand is going to solve it. Like they, I don't remember the phrase. I don't know what type of bird does that. Ostrich. All right, somebody come in to eat him, he put his head in the sand. They just eat him. Lion, come get him. So we can't always think that you just turn away from the problem means that it's solved or don't look at. Marriage and divorce again? Man, I'm tired of that. Okay, then why are you still beating your wife up? If you're tired of it. That's why we should be talking to about you, with you, or with husband. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let this advice benefit us in our lives. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والحمد لله.